you have your Bibles, if you would raise them with me. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, over the last few weeks, God has been stirring something within my wife and I for our family. And I'm going to be sharing that with you because it's also something for the church, not just for us as a family. We're starting a series on holiness. And there's different elements to it. And today I want to talk about holiness and identity. See, most of you are aware, and you'll be hearing more talk about this soon. January, we do 31 days. We fast the month of January and pray as a church. Everyone prays and fasts their own way as the Holy Spirit leads. And we just consecrate that month to God. But as we're, holidays are approaching and the weeks have been passing, the Holy Spirit's been impressing on us as a family, begin your consecration now. Begin your fasting to one form or another now. So we beginning to just search out the heart of God for us and just pray into it and make changes in our lives, in our routines, in our behaviors, whatever it might be that God is leading us to, so we can be in right standing with Him. And as a church, this is where He's leading us to. None of the stuff that's happening right now is a coincidence. This is lining up with it. It's because of His ridiculously incredible grace this is happening. But we are still called to holiness. Now, what is holiness? The way holiness is defined is the state of being holy. Holiness is simply being holy. Well, what is holy? Holy, biblically, is defined as dedicated or consecrated to God or religious purpose, sacred, pure. It's a complete dedication of that. Lord, I am completely dedicating myself to you. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm dedicating my thoughts, my attitude, my words, my perception, my desires, the way I am, the way I present myself. Everything about me is dedicated to you. I am becoming, in Christ Jesus, because I can't do this on my own, because we'll talk a little more about that in a second, but in Him, see, Christ was the perfect lamb that was that laid down His life, a perfect sacrifice at the altar of God for our sins. In Him, I am called and told to be holy. So because of what He did, as I embrace that, as I receive what He did, as I allow what He did be at work in my life doing the same, the way He submitted to God, the way He only thought the things of His Father, spoke what He heard His Father speak, do what His Father did, the way He carried Himself in every day, whether it was in His mama's home or in the temple or on the street, it did not matter. He was completely dedicated to His Father. So as I receive, embrace that, let His Spirit come alive in me to make those changes. Because even simple changes in our home that we're making, for example, praying in the Spirit is one thing we've been doing as we lay down in bed together before we fall asleep many nights. Even if it's for a couple of minutes, sometimes it's longer than that. I can't do those things. We can't do those things without His Spirit in us. So as we receive, as we allow Him to do his work, we submit ourselves. Remember, the greater the sacrifice we lay at the altar, the hotter the fire that comes from heaven. Okay? And his fire purifies, therefore equals holiness. So as I lay myself down, as we lay ourselves down, as a church, we lay ourselves down, fire comes down and he purifies it. We begin to look like him. What we do here as a family, as a church, begins to look like heaven. Isn't, if our job is to be imitators of Christ and to have his spirit in us so much that we look like him, we do what he did as he called us to and empowered us to do so, then when we come together as a church, isn't it supposed to look like the party of heaven? What his throne room looks like? So what we do, we position ourselves as a sacrifice, laying down ourselves, different things, attitudes, mindsets, bitterness, anger, all those things, so Holy Spirit fire can come down and purify. See, because sin is defined as an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Simply put, sin separates us from God. We know that. It is on the opposite side of holy. You're either in sin or you're in holiness. There's no in between, guys. There's no gray area. And that's the hard part. It's saying, I'm here, I'm here. Now, that does not mean this is a do or don't do situation. You know, this is not about what you earning your way into holiness. What this is about is, Holy Spirit, you spoke to me about this. This is what you're asking me to do. I say yes to it, I'm on the side of holiness. I say no, make excuses, not do it, I'm now separated from his heart. Because that was his heart, right? That was his heart for me. So sin separates my heart from the heart of God. Imagine this. My wife, your spouse, or somebody you're very close to, asks you to do something for them, and you don't do it. They're going to be hurt, right? Aren't human relationships meant to reflect Christ and the church? God's heart with his children? So we honor him by being obedient. As we are true and obedient, we begin to look more like him. As we begin to look more like him, Holy Spirit fire continues to purify us. Therefore, we go from glory to glory. We begin to change. Sin separates us. Something gets in the way. Sin is just simply something gets in the way by being what God has called us to be, by being obedient to God, whatever that looks like. Again, Bible's not a book of do's and don'ts. There are specific things that God expects of us and other things that we are supposed to walk in. But all this is in the context of relationship. It's all about relationship. I don't do because I have to. I do because I love, and I am loved first. Okay? Not because I have to. God doesn't make me love him, does not make me obey him, does not make me choose to be holy. He asks me to be holy as he is holy, and I make the choice because I love him and I recognize how much he loved me. He loves me to pursue him and be holy as he is holy. It's a choice I make. It's a willing sacrifice. Not a twisted my arm behind my back and I'm being dragged to the altar and laid down. That's not what God asks of us. He says, would you just turn your heart to me? Would you make choices to be holy? And let nothing get between you and I. Nothing get between my relationship with you. That's his heart's desire. And simply put, when there is nothing between me and him, I'm in a place where I can be called holy. That's the bottom line. If there's absolutely nothing in my life, in that moment, I am holy before Him. I'm in right standing before Him. That's a choice we make. See, but here's the issue. Problem is, we need to know the difference. Means we need to know the difference of what is holy and what is not holy, what is right standing with God, what is not in right standing with God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know Him. We need to know and be filled with the Spirit of God. And simply put, we need to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. If I don't know the Word of God, I'm not going to be able to fully have an intimate relationship with Jesus or be filled with the Spirit. If I am not filled with the Spirit, I'm not going to have the deep revelation of the Word of God and be able to tune in an intimate way with the heart of Jesus. If I don't know Jesus, He's not pouring His Spirit out in me. And I'm not going to understand His Word outside the context of relationship. So I need all three of those. I need to know His Word. I need to be filled with His Spirit. And I need to pursue that intimate relationship with God. Otherwise, the line is blurry. Otherwise, when we get to that crucial dividing line, we're not going to be very confident in the decisions we're making. We're not going to know. Now, God gives grace because He understands we don't know everything, especially as a new believer, especially in a new area. His grace is great. And the wonderful thing about His grace is He gives us the opportunity to say, oof, I messed up here, Lord. Okay, I see what I did wrong. Thank You for in You, Holy Spirit. Again, Holy Spirit being filled, given me the wisdom and recognition and conviction that, oh, this put me out of line with You. So I ask You now, I thank You, Jesus, for Your blood that puts me back in right standing with You so that now in You and I can pursue it the right way. That's the beautiful thing about His love. We can become realigned again and get back to where we need to be in Him. But again, knowing Jesus intimately, knowing His Word, and being filled with His Spirit. What is it? How to simply put, we're searching the heart of God and the mind of Christ, knowing those things. Leviticus 27 says this, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. If you go back a couple of months ago when I talked about consecration and sanctification, whose responsibility is it to consecrate? Who? Us. Consecration is on us. So if consecration is on us, whose responsibility is it to sanctify? God. Simply put, consecration means I position myself at a place where He can sanctify me. That works by repenting, by humbling myself. Consecration is laying myself at the altar. That's why in Scripture, He always says, consecrate yourselves. He never says, I will consecrate you. Now, some of the different translations do mix up sanctification and consecration. But if you look at the actual Hebrew in the Old Testament, it's always referring to consecration when he's talking about our role. And whenever it's His role, He will sanctify you. Just like it says here, consecrate yourself and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Well, who makes me holy? He does. That means sanctified. For me to be holy, I have to be positioned in a place where I have laid it before God, asked His forgiveness, repented. I've come to Him with a humble heart and a contrite spirit. I've laid myself. I've confessed my sins. I recognize where there's a need for Him to fill. I position myself at his altar for his fire to come down and sanctify me. And that's an important difference to keep in mind, because he does the sanctifying, but he's calling me to consecrate myself. So keep that in mind. So we have two problems that I want to talk about today when it comes to holiness. And two things. What the problem? The problem is sin. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind." Iniquities is not the act of sin. It's the leaning towards a particular kind of sin. For example, if I'm a habitual liar, my iniquity is that I'm a habitual liar. Telling a lie once is a sin, but it's not an iniquity. That's the difference. So our iniquities are like the wind, have taken us away. Sin, the things that we are tending to lean towards that separate us from God, take us away like the wind. Just continue to blow us further and further apart from him. Why? Because our righteousness is filthy rags. Let's redefine that a little bit. Our own abilities to try to be in right standing with God is like a filthy rag. Our own attempt at trying to make ourselves in right standing or holy in our own strength, with our own thoughts, with our own mind, with our own attitude, with our own behaviors, is like filthy rags. How many of us tried to clean with a filthy rag? Does it work? You can't get cleanliness and purity with a dirty cloth. You just can't. You can't put on a dirty cloth and say, "Look at me, I'm holy." Does not work that way. But Romans 3:23 says this: "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we've all, no matter how good, quote, you think you are or I think I am, I've fallen short from the glory of God. I can't do this right without him. I can't do this right on my own. I've fallen short. I can say, "Well, I'm going to start thinking differently. I'm going to have a better attitude about life." See how long that lasts when somebody cuts you off. "I'm going to love people." See how long that lasts when you're sitting in church and going, "Yeah, Jesus, I'm going to love people. I can do this. I know I can." And then somebody sits next to you who hasn't showered in 3 days. How much love are you thinking about them at that moment? Do you really have compassion? I know I couldn't without the compassion of Christ in me. I'm being very honest. There's no way I could. We can't do this on our own. I can't pursue holiness in me. I pursue it in him, in Christ Jesus. That's the only way to do it. I can't do this on my own. I will fail every time. I can't say, "I'm going to be the best husband I could this world has ever seen, and I will do nothing wrong." Hello. See how far that goes without the grace of God on me. It does not work that way. All our righteousness, all our humanly attempts to be right in before God's eyes are like filthy rags. And they've taken us away from him. They've caused this division and separation from him. But point number two, here's the answer. His name is Jesus. I put something up there. If you can put the next slide up, Willie. There should be a little graph. Oh, you didn't do that? Okay. What I wanted to show you, to be in right standing with God, we have to have an awareness that something's wrong. Right? I have to look at myself and recognize, have an awareness that I'm just not there. I can't do this on my own. That awareness opens the door for Holy Spirit to convict. In other words, to start to stir in me that, you know what? This needs to get right with you. Awareness leads to conviction. Conviction in the Holy Spirit leads to repentance. And remember what repentance means: to change your mind. So my awareness that something's wrong here, even if I don't have my finger 100% on what is wrong, something is wrong, leads to conviction, which begins to say, yeah, this area of your life has been separated from God. You need to get this right with God. That conviction leads to, okay, Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me this. So now, Lord, I don't know the answer yet, but I am saying I'm sorry for the path I was on, and I'm making a choice to change my mind and start a new path. Just show me what this new path is. I want to turn away from the old path. So, and repentance then, in Christ, leads to righteousness, or being in right standing with God. I mean, repentance and righteousness are Christianese words. Look at it as awareness leads to conviction, leads to changing my mind, leads to getting myself right with God, which leads to holiness as God rights me. It's awareness. You might want to write this down. Awareness leads to conviction, leads to repentance, leads to righteousness, leads to holiness. That's the flow. Awareness is self-driven. It is a recognition of our need and lack and limitations and sin. So I recognize what I'm lacking. Conviction is spirit-driven. Remember, awareness is self-driven. Conviction is spirit-driven. Holy Spirit brings understanding of true status and reveals the, quote, fix. It's not condemnation. It's not, ooh, you're wrong, I'm going to beat you down for it. It's, I recognize what I need to do. He points it out, which leads to repentance, which again is now self-driven. There's a pattern here. Awareness, self-driven. Conviction, spirit-driven. Repentance, self-driven, because now I have to make a choice. See, I choose to recognize that something's wrong. Remember that, because I can pretend nothing's wrong, right? I choose to recognize it. When I do, God does His part, and His Spirit brings conviction. Then now with that conviction, I have to take another step. I have to choose now to say, I'm willing to change my mind. So that's self-driven, recognizing and realizing what we need to do and do it, which leads to righteousness, being in right standing, which again is God-driven, because salvation through Christ. See, I can't be righteous without Christ. It's God-driven. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross so we can be saved, so we can be pure before God's eyes, and that chasm between us and God that sin separated, we're getting close with. So it's salvation through Christ. It's freedom from bondage in righteousness and iniquity, the tendency towards a specific kind of sin. We're set free from oppressive spirits. We have an eternal hope and a present hope. So awareness, self-driven. Conviction, spirit-driven. Repentance, self-driven. Righteousness, God-driven, because it's what Jesus did. And then holiness is the outcome of all of what Jesus did. Holiness leads to taking the ground. That's the difference. Holiness leads to personal advancement. Holiness leads to change, to restoration, to strengthening within holiness. And I want you to see the Trinity at work here. You have the Holy Spirit who brings the conviction. You have the Son who covers us in His righteousness. And you have the Father who sent the Son so that we can be called holy as I am holy, is what His Word says. So you see this at work here. And holiness, when I am at that place in a of holiness, when I am in a specific area that God has just purified, God just fixed, He just cleansed, He just changed in me, that's now when I can start seeing gains in these things. Okay? That's when I start seeing change. If I want my household to change, I have to change first and get into that place where I can carry His presence in being holy. See, I can't expect my household to change if I'm still wearing the filthy rags and then yelling at a child or a spouse, "Why don't you put on your new clothes?" Yet I'm wearing the ones that were just pulled out of the garbage. How dare you go to church looking like that when I'm, you know, still wearing those same garments? It's, hey, Jesus just gave me some new threads, and He gave me these for you too. That's how this works. It begins with us first. Now, I don't want anyone here sitting and thinking I'm not worthy, because guess what? None of us are worthy. But in Him, we are worthy. In Him. We don't deserve it, but we get to be blessed by it because of Him. And I don't care what your testimony is, what life was like prior to this moment. You can, right here, right now, if you haven't already, you can start wearing some new threads. Does not matter. He has them in all sizes and colors. Custom built to fit. He's even got matching shoes. And if you like the 4-inch heels, he has those too. He's got what you need. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a what? A gift from God. A gift of God. It's His gift to you. Will you receive it?" There is no holiness without Christ. Will you receive the One who wants to cleanse you with His blood that was shed for your sins so you can be holy before God? Until that happens, you're still apart. And let's take it a little further. Some of us have been covered by the blood of Christ, but we still have things that His blood has not gotten into yet, so to speak. Maybe attitudes, maybe the way we think about certain things, maybe past hurt that continues to come up in different ways in the way we treat people. You know what I'm talking about if this applies to you. Today is your day where you can let that flow get into every crack and crevice. That we can be truly cleansed. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord." Listen to this. "My soul," your soul, remember, is the way you think, your mind, your will, what drives you, your passions, and your emotions, your feelings. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My mind, will, and emotions will exalt in my God." That means all of me is exalting Him, lifting Him up. "For He has clothed me with" what? "The garment of salvation." That's through Jesus, His blood. "And He wrapped me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. In other words, he dresses you up like you would dress on your very best day, the most important day of your life. And in him, he wants us to look our best every day of our lives. Because our every day is meant to be the best day of our lives. Because if we're moving from glory to glory every day as we continue to build, remember, in our knowledge of his word, build on opening ourselves up to being filled with his spirit, and build on growing more intimate with him, every day becomes better than the day before. So every day is, this new day becomes the best day of your life in him. And this is his desire, to clothe us with the garment of salvation and wrap us, just surround us with this beautiful robe of righteousness. And then he declares in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he who called you is holy. Who called you? Who called you? You also be holy in all your conduct. And I love this. He called you. He called us. What does that mean? He recruited you. He invited you. He pursued you. And when you recruit, you pursue, when you call somebody, you are calling them for a specific thing in mind. When you marry your spouse, you see something in them and they see something in you that's going to dictate your future. That's going to build your future. You see that the two of you together are better than yourselves individually. You don't just show up to an altar and say, I wonder who's going to show up today and marry me. I'll just wait. You ask someone to marry you. You pursue someone to marry you. You recruit someone to marry you. You call someone to marry you. Why? Because there's something special on the other side. And this is why Christ, he called you. He recruited you for something amazing that involved you being holy as he is holy. In other words, involved you looking like him. Taking on his image, his persona, his mindset, his heart, his passions, his desires, all those things. His intention for calling us is found in Ephesians 1:4, and we're going to close with this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm here to tell you, you were chosen to be holy. You were born with your Father's heart intending on you to be holy. You were birthed with the moniker of this child of mine. I desire them to be holy as I am holy. To be an example of his righteousness. Reflect what it means to be in right standing with him so you would reflect him. And he would be at work in your life. When we birth a child, when a child comes into your family, you don't birth them, say, oh, they're cute, and walk away. You look at your child and you say, man, I want great things for you. I see you becoming this. I see you becoming that. I want to instill this in you. Shared with you when Martha Ellen was born, God put on my heart just every day declare over her, you will seek the Lord in his strength and pursue his presence all the days of his life. So every night she goes to bed, I pray that over her. And I thank the Lord that that's what she will do. Because he has great things for her. And here today, every one of us sitting in this room, he has great things for you. That's why you are chosen to be holy. not just to look fine, but to be better, to be great, not good, great. He did not choose you out of a hat. You were formed in His image. You were chosen for a specific purpose and a plan that He has for you. And in that plan and in that purpose is being holy. Our job is to say, Lord, what area in my life do I need to now consecrate for You, separate for You, dedicate to You, position myself for You to sanctify with Your fire, with Your holiness, so that this area would be holy, and I can be holy from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and everything in between. So right now, would you stand with me? Just position your heart to receive from the Holy Spirit, because if I know the Holy Spirit's been speaking to so many people today. And if you felt uncomfortable at any moment within this message, I want you to know that's not God. That's the enemy telling you you're guilty and you're bad in one form or another. Holy Spirit is saying, just come. Just come and receive the blood of Christ and be washed in His love. That's all. Just come to Christ. Let me change you. Don't worry about changing yourself. Let me work on that. Don't put that much pressure on yourself. If you're hearing, but I can't, I've struggled with this all my life. It's okay. You've struggled with it all your life. Now let Jesus handle it. Consecrate it to God. Position it in a place where God can sanctify it. That's what He's asking you to do. Not telling you to change it. He's asking you to hand it over. That's it. And if the enemy's telling you things negative right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to speak this over yourself. I shut the mouth of the enemy right now up. I shut it up in the name of Jesus. Because my daddy in heaven speaks words of life to me and loves me. Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just continue to be in that position. Just receive. God is speaking right now to you. Thank you, Lord. If you've never accepted Christ before as your Savior, as the one who makes you clean, who died for your sins, He died to get rid of that separation that sin causes, and would like to today, would you just raise your hand? I want to make sure we give an opportunity for everyone to receive that in Jesus' name. Okay. What I would like you to do today is find one person, and you and that one person just come together and just pray over each other as you feel led to pray. If you are comfortable saying to this person you are with, hey, can you pray for me in this specific area that I'm struggling with? Great. But if you don't want to feel comfortable sharing that specific area, you don't have to. just say, hey, just pray for me. God knows. And let them pray as their heart is compelled. And just to encourage each other. So just find one other pair up with one other person. If at the very end there's one person left alone, you guys can form a triplet. Just pray together. Just find somebody. Make a new friend. And just pray. Nobody should be praying alone. Thank you, Father.